Welcome to Voices of Freedom.
Blog Talk Radio.
Great to have you here. It's Thursday morning. We have another opportunity to talk about Jesus, and that's what we're going to do. And I titled today's message, The Second Greatest Sin of All Time. And I know there'd probably be a lot of people say, well, now here's the this sin and that sin. And but just thinking about this, let me just share the number one, the most sinned sin of all time. How about that? And that is to reject the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay? Because that's the sin that's going to get you in hell. That's the sin that's Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. You weren't interested. I tried my best. I tried to reach you, and I've done all I can do. And you're just not there. So there's the situation on that. And how does that happen? Well, it happens because in Romans 3:23 and 3:10 that we read yesterday, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good. No, not one. So at the end of the day, I got to see that, and I've got to respond to that. So you say, well, if that's the most important sin of all time, right, how can there be a second most important sin? And this is just something that's come to me. You know, the last couple of days I've just been thinking, you know, I talked to my wife a little more than normal, really, this week, and my daughter, and, you know, I said, we're not doing enough. We're not doing anything. I mean, we're going to church, and, you know, every now and then we might, you know, take 5 cans of pop to the city mission or, you know, a box of cereal or something. I mean, we're doing little things that we just, you know, we bust the buttons off our vest over, you know. But day in and day out, we are sin, I think, the greatest sin of all time, to make a broad blanket coverage of that sin. The greatest sin of all time is the sin of omission. And you said a sin of omission. And that is just plain not doing enough for God to see what we've done, to see that we care. Our heart's not in anything anymore. Because, number one, we've had our feelings hurt so many times, we're afraid to step out. It's like the guy that's always reaching and reaching for something, and every time he reaches out, somebody sucker punches him in the gut. You know, after a while, your reach is not as far. After a while, you quit reaching. And then, you know, all that, you say, well, now my feelings are hurt. I'm just not doing this. Well, it's your job to still go and do it. You know, it is your job to still be what Jesus wants you to be. So where this falls under the sin of omission is there are clear principles in this Bible about things that we do. We talk about Galatians 5:22, 5:23, wherever it is, all the time. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The person who is born again, a believer in Jesus Christ, they're going to do some things different. There's going to be love, joy, and a peace about them that was never there before. They're not going to be sky high one day and down in the dumps the other. Now, I'm not saying you can't have good days and bad days. We all have them. But as I bear fruit, as my fruit tree grows up in Jesus, as I grow in Jesus and I grow in knowledge and I read what the Bible wants me to know and I start to put in action every day of my life. For example, the message last night was, we got to read and study more. We got to take time and sit down with Jesus. That's what this is for me. Listen, I don't know if there's 1,000 people listening. I don't know if there's 10,000 people listening. There may not be anybody listening, but Jesus is listening to this. He can tell by my heart what my intentions are with this program. I will tell you my intention. My intention is to reach my friends on Facebook, on Twitter, through the Blog Talk Radio Network, and give them an opportunity to hear an easy-to-understand Bible lesson in something that they can apply directly to their lives, and most of all, give them an opportunity to see they need to be saved. And we get into all these terms, what does being saved mean? Well, right now you were born with that sin nature that we talked about that said that we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God, that there was none good, no, not one. So in all this, the way we do things, okay, we inherited that, and there's no way that you and I can on our own get rid of the traits we've inherited. We cannot take our chromosomes. I think, what is it, 23 from mom and 23 from dad or something like that. We can't say, mom, take back the chromosome that gave me blue eyes. Dad, take back the chromosome that gave me that crazy nose, or whatever it is, okay? Because it's in our DNA. We cannot do it. So the nature for us to sin, Psalms 51:5 will tell me, the nature is for me to sin because I was born or conceived in iniquity, okay, or sin, or however you want to pronounce it. So what does it mean, okay? That means that I can't escape it from the time of Adam and Eve. The sin enters into the world. I'm not only born in it, but I waller in it in society because I have to live in this society. Now, I can go on down to Romans 5:12, and I can see something called imputed sin. Now, I always get these mixed up, the propitiation and the imputed and all this thing. But I think what it amounts to is because Adam and Eve sinned, and I am a distant son of Adam and Eve, that it makes me a sinner. So there's got to be a way out of this sin, all right? So let's take, for example, when we start talking about sin of omission, okay? Let's take, for example, or not an example, but let's say that I have gotten saved at some point in my life. I'm in church, I'm studying, I'm reading, I'm learning, I'm doing. I should be able to point to something and say, look, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, gentleness, against such there is no law. Where is all that? Do I have any of that? James over there tells me that faith without works is dead. So what does it mean? Faith without works is dead. So I can say I have faith. It says I might even have faith. But if I don't have any works, I have dead faith. Is anybody looking for that today? I don't think so. You see? Now, what's happened in this situation? Well, as I deal with the sin that's in my life and I get saved, I'm still going to make mistakes. If I get over there in 1 John, I've got a verse highlighted that says, if I say I have no sin as a Christian, I'm a liar and the truth is not in me. Do you follow that? So at the end of the day, if I'm going around as a Christian and I'm trying to do some things for Jesus Christ, the devil will be there. He will be agitated. He will be a burr in your saddle. He will be the thorn in your side that Paul prayed that would leave him. But at the end of the day, guess what? There's an opportunity for you and me to do better. But the sin nature that we've had, we have to fight it back all the time. We can be working and doing great things in the church and make a mistake, and we need to be able to recognize that. One of our biggest problems today that lends to the second greatest sin of all time is the concept that nothing breaks our hearts anymore. Nothing hurts us anymore. Nothing convicts us anymore. And I tell you what, you look up the definition of a reprobate mind and you say, well, what is that? That's someone who has chosen their own way of doing things and their own ideas and, you know, there's a lot of different ways. I think it's Romans chapter 2 where you can read about it. But nobody's changing your mind. Nobody's telling you what to do. No one is, you know, smart as you. And God says after a while, just go on. Do what you're going to do. It's what he said to Judas, wasn't it? Judas, go. Do what you must do. Do it quickly. Well, how heartbreaking was that for Jesus? Because he knew what Judas was going to do 3 years ago when he met him. You know? But there it is. Now, we get into terms like the imputed sin, like I said, whereas sin entered in through one man, sin comes down through Adam. Well, Jesus comes, He is called the second Adam in a few places because he's the second chance for mankind because he's going to die for all the sins and be a sacrifice that we need to get forgiveness of sins. Man, oh man, is that not good stuff? Now, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to get into a topic here, and this is probably what is lending or building up the second greatest sin of all time is when we backslide. In Jeremiah 3:22, it talks a little bit about it. We're going along great for Jesus. Everything's good in life. You know, the devil sees what you're doing, and all of a sudden he pushes something out in front of you, and he trips you. Well, guess what? That's happened to everybody. Everybody has fallen short of the standard God has set. But the idea is to get back up and keep pedaling and keep moving in the right direction, right? So at the end of the day, we get to the goal. We get to the finished product, and that's Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Don't you want to get to Jesus? Listen, what is a backslidden Christian? It's somebody that got saved, they've gone a little bit, and then something's happened. You know, they were a young Christian. Maybe they got their feelings hurt in church. Maybe their expectation level was too high in church. Maybe they saw somebody do something that they didn't agree. I mean, who knows why you're backslidden today? But backsliding is right there with the greatest, second greatest sin of all time because you've backed up on the plan God has for your life. And because you've backed up on this plan, you're slowing down God's progress. See, that in the sin of omission, that's something we never really think about. You and I are slowing down God's plan. How are we doing it? Why are we doing it? What's up with that? It's when we omit or do not do something God needs us to be doing, we're slowing down God's progress. And if I don't do what God needs me to do, guess what God has to do? He's got to find someone else. Guess what? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There is plenty of work to do. People want to get saved. People don't know about Jesus. Now, when I was a kid, that was insanity to think that people didn't know about Jesus because Grandma was pounding it on us, just like the old meat tenderizer hammer, pound, pound, pound. Well, guess what? 35, 40, 50 years later, now it makes sense. She was pounding on it because it was the second greatest sin of all time, which was to know Jesus Christ and what his will is, but then to not do it. You see where we're at with this? Now, sometimes we get saved, we start to realize the religious freedoms that are here, and all of a sudden we say, well, man, there's a lot of liberty here. There's a lot of freedom. And then we forget that leaven in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 11, that little bit of leaven, we call it yeast today, but it's what Grandma puts in the biscuits to make them raise. See, that little bit of leaven today, it says in the Bible, it leaveneth the whole loaf. You put a little pinch of that in there, and man, things explode. You put a little bit of sin in somebody's life that's trying to do good for Jesus, and the next thing you know, you've just blown it plumb up. Man, oh man, is that what we're looking for today? Is that the master plan? Listen, I love you. You're listening to the program, trying to get you to where you need to be. Listen, I fall short every day. When I look at the standards that I fail to meet, let me just be honest with you, and I start to say, wow, I got to do better. I've got to do more. I've got to do what Jesus needs me to be doing. And that's where we go from here. That's the kind of thing that's going on. So let me give you something else, because here's where we're living today is under a term called apostasy. In the apostasy, everyone, and this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, everyone has decided that church is not important anymore. That, well, people aren't going to get saved anyway. Well, why should I risk my job or my family or my this or my that to tell somebody about Jesus when chances are they don't want to hear it? Once again, what I'm omitting here is what Jesus wants. Jesus did not tell me to go and save somebody. Jesus told me to go and tell somebody what Jesus has done for me. There are so many of us that for years we said, when I'm a Bible expert, I'm going to go tell someone about Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. You're never going to be a Bible expert. I mean, you might be. You know, maybe I shouldn't say it that way. But before you become a Bible expert, you had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ where you surrendered and said, Lord, save me. That's the message Jesus wants you to go preach to your family and your friends. I called him an uncle. I guess really he's a cousin, but he passed away a couple days ago. Man, we wanted to impress him as kids, and every time he drove by the house, we knew he liked ball, so we'd be playing ball. Every time he drove by on a church day or a church night, I'd be convicted because I knew where I needed to be. The moment I got saved and word got out that I got saved, he's one of the first person to call and tell me, I'm so proud of you. You see, the people we look up to, the people who are doing what God wants them to do, he never said a word about getting saved to me my whole life. I'm sure he's probably stopped and invited mom and dad to church over the years. But he just did what he did, and he was just a pretty good, I mean, a solid fella. Was he perfect? No, he was not perfect. But as far as doing the things that Jesus wanted done, he pretty much did them. But the apostasy that we're going through in churches today is it's no big deal to be there or not be there. And then you get into going, and then you get there, and then there's more drama and turmoil than there is on days of our lives. So then you got to say, wow, how do I get out of that? So the devil's in both places. He's at the house with you watching TV, telling you this is a good movie. Don't get up and go to church. He's at church telling you that guy over there don't like you, and, you know, this sister's talking about you, and, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Now, why is it like that? It's like that because the devil has seen the end of his journey. You see? He's seen by the time frame that is lined up in this Bible and his understanding of the day and time, he knows his days are shortened. Now, how do I know that? Well, when I get over into Peter, and Peter talks about the devil a little bit, Peter says that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So in God's time frame, Jesus has been gone a little over 2 days. You see. So with what Jesus has done, okay, with God's master plan in this thing, there's something that we've got to look about. And it is we're omitting or not doing the things that God needs us to do. And especially if we fall away and we don't attend a church and we don't go in fellowship and we don't build up and energize ourselves to go out and witness to the world. Man, it's a dangerous time. It's a dangerous situation for this kind of thing. So there it is. An interesting point here after this is called pollution by sin. 1 Corinthians 5:6, Paul gives us a little detail on it. What's the pollution of sin? Well, look around. When you let the morality decay of your community go, and people start doing what's right in their own eyes, and you see all the crazy that's going on out there, you look around all of a sudden and you see that it is a pure pollution. The drugs are a pollution, okay? They've polluted things. The fact that Jesus is not involved in anything anymore, and not even in some churches, has polluted our world was seeing even more dramatically than it was. You know, Jesus talks about we're a light. The church is a light. The church's lights are turned off. Some churches don't even want people to come. Some churches don't want the doors of the church opened, which is to say they don't want new members. How about that for a second? So in all this stuff, I can march along as I'm marching on, but if I never get saved and get rid of the greatest sin of all time, okay, if I never get saved, the wages of sin is death. That's Romans 6:23. But I'm telling you, I got saved. Now what's wrong? What's wrong is God's got a job for you to do and your growth is stunted. You got to get in the Bible. You got to read it. You got to pray on it a little bit. You got to meditate over it a little bit. And you got to find a place to put it in action in your life. Be part of something. Take something to the city mission. Go down and serve a meal there and just find out what it looks like to be homeless. Oh, yeah, it's down there. Go sign up for Saturday morning breakfast over at the Trinity Episcopal Church over on Fifth Avenue and go over there and hand them a bag of goodies as 150 of Huntington's most homeless people come through the line. They've all got a story. They've all got a smile. There's a good chance they know more scripture than you do. Are they going to heaven? Yes, they will go to heaven if they know Jesus Christ and have a personal relationship with him. Could they go to hell? Absolutely, they could go to hell. If they don't know Jesus and they've allowed the devil to plant it in their mind that this is Jesus' fault, absolutely, they'll tear hair wide open. But there's another thing called the flesh. That's probably the greatest thing that is contributing to the failed Christian today. You say, what's that? Well, you've got a fleshly body about you, and you live in the flesh even after you're saved. After you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives in your heart. That's what's cleaning you up. That's what's going to work on you. That's what's going to make you what you ought to be, as long as you read the Bible, get with Christians, fellowship with people, learn and come along and grow from the milk to the meat Christian in the Bible. Now, every step of the way, and a big Phil Spurlock talked about this, and it's as true as anything you'll ever hear. He said an old man told him one time, the flesh and the spirit is like two big dogs fighting inside of you. And which one you feed, that's the one that's going to win this thing. So the second greatest sin of all time is in that flesh. If you don't fight it, and you don't resist it, and you don't stay in the Bible, and you don't read, and you don't study, and you don't pray, and you don't think, and when you've got a minute driving down the road, you're not praising the Lord for who he is, you're in a scary position. Because I don't know how much of that faith. Oh, I'm an eternal security believer all the way. But I know ever since I've been saved, I've been in church. There might have been a brief spell of traveling where I might have missed some services, but I have never come up to the point where if Jesus spoke to me audibly right now and said, how do you feel about things? I've never said, well, I've kind of given up on you right now, Lord. I've kind of quit on you. Because I never have. And that's what this program is for every morning. It's to make me accountable to jump out of bed and have the first thing on my mind talking about Jesus. Talking about your opportunity to meet Jesus and your opportunity to start a personal relationship and your opportunity to overcome the sin that's going to take you to hell if you don't overcome it. And you have no way of overcoming this on your own. I hope you have a great day. I tell you, I'm energized for Jesus. I'm excited about what Jesus has done in my life and what he's going to do. And if you're not that way, just grab that Bible. Start in John chapter 14. read that John chapter 14, and if you can't get excited about it, call me, 304-638-6563, and we'll talk about it. Have a great day. God bless.